Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
All right, welcome back in Civil War Week, and you can hear the game right here on The Fan on Friday. We're excited for it. 1 o'clock, Oregon and Oregon State, and joining us now to talk about it is the head coach of the Oregon Ducks, Mario Cristobal, joining us on the Catlin Capital Hotline. And, Coach, before we look ahead to this one and talk about a bunch of different things, I want to start with Saturday night, senior night, your first one as the head coach at Oregon and sending a couple of guys off in their last home game at Autzen Stadium. I'm just curious what the message was to the team and to those seniors before the game, and then how nice was it to send them out with their last home game in a victory?
Well, it was great. They deserve to go out that way. And I think it was pretty recognized that Arizona State was coming in as the hottest team in the conference. And we made the decision, and the message to our guys was that we have to prove that this game means a lot more to us and that our people mean a lot more to us than it means to our opponent. And to do that, there had to be a certain way we had to prepare. The mental intensity had to be dialed up to a different level. And on a down-by-down basis, our guys went out there and proved that that game was more important to us, and it's the right way to send out the seniors. And certainly, really happy for them with all the contributions they've made to this program.
Well, and something you've talked about a lot with us here over the last handful of weeks is getting off to better starts and really emphasizing that and wanting to see that. And you did. I mean, you guys got the ball first. You elected to receive. You took it the distance and scored a touchdown on your opening drive. When did that become, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you guys have done that this year. When was that decision made that if we win the toss, we want the ball? And then what did you make your team start on Saturday?
No, we've done it a few times before. Okay. You know, we thought it was important to take the ball. We knew that, like us, we had some injuries. They had some injuries. They were going to have a couple new starters on the defensive side, and we want to try and jump out and take advantage of that. And our guys got off to a really good start. And I thought it was also, something that was really, unique about, this game is that, similar to the Washington game, that drive right before the half ended up being a critical piece of the puzzle as well. Staying aggressive with about 40 seconds to go deep in our territory, we just sort of hit on all cylinders, made some big plays, got the ball down the field, and got a touchdown right before the half, and ended up being a big deal.
Yeah, we're talking with the head coach of the Oregon Ducks, Mario Cristobal, as they get set to take on Oregon State in the Civil War Friday. You can hear it right here on The Fan at 1 o'clock. And you know, really, I thought one of the stories of that game was defensively the way you guys played. And, 17, I believe, of the 29 points for Arizona State came off of turnovers. I thought your young corners were phenomenal against N'Keal Harry, who, when you stand next to that kid, holy smokes, he's a huge body and he's going to be a stud at the next level. What did you make your defensive performance, and did it feel like those kids are just kind of growing up in front of your eyes out there on in the secondary with the way they played?
Yeah, the secondary, in most programs, those guys would be redshirt freshmen, vying for playing time. Here, those guys are true sophomores with a lot of games underneath their belt, and they remember last year. And they remember the 3rd-and-17 shot they threw over our head. They remember, the different plays that their receivers had made. And those guys are great wide receivers, great football team. But, Thomas and Diamador and Ugo and the rest of the gang back there, they just, Nick Pickett too, and they elevated their game to a different level. Guys came off the bench as well. Guys like Mitchell McGraw came off and made big plays. Siobhan Holland made big plays. And they ended up being the difference in the game. They were 3-of-17, I believe, on third down. Mm-hmm. Which ended up being such a big deal. And, in the first half and for a good chunk of the game, we did a much better job against the run as well, which was something that we had been working on and trying to get back to over the last couple of weeks. So all in all, just a great team effort. And guys, just from start to finish to the very last play and beyond, just went lights out, all-out effort. And that's what it takes in a conference game against a good team like that.
Yeah. Well, one more on that game, and then we'll move on to some other stuff, including the Civil War this Friday. You joked about it in the post game. You knew you were going to get asked about it this week. But I'm just curious what the explanation was on that fumble that was refs pointing in opposite directions, and it felt like the crowd goes crazy, Oregon ball. What the explanation was, and then have you ever snapped a headset before?
Yeah, it's probably the third headset that's been a victim of a call. I don't, the explanation itself, I don't know. It felt like a WWE moment with so much chaos and noise going on. But, at the end of the day, the officials were correct. I think one of them just saw that thought he had seen the ball being recovered by us. It ended up slipping out of our hands and in their possession. So that was the chaos and the confusion involved in that. But, I thought we had it. So I guess that's probably best just leaving it right there.
Okay. Yeah, third, we'll keep track of that one. Third headset now that's been a casualty of a call. We're talking with the head coach of the Oregon Ducks, Mario Cristobal. They take on Oregon State on Friday. And, you know, you've embraced the rivalries, and we talked to you during the Washington week and understanding how important that one is for the fan base. Obviously, this one, you know, an in-state game in Oregon and Oregon State and the history that goes into it. You've had former players. I saw you have one yesterday, and I believe you had another one today. Come speak to the team. What's the thinking behind that, of having guys come in on a rivalry week and talk to your players heading into this game?
Just think, for a program to have a lot of substance to – for your players to understand the meeting is getting to know the history of your program and those that came before you. And the best way to do it is to bring back former players, and they could get deep into something like the Civil War and why it means so much, and why houses and families are divided because of this game on a yearly basis, and how it lasts for 364 days until the next one, the bragging rights that go with it. And the best way to do that, I really believe that, is continue to bring back the former players, former coaches, guys that just know it and live it inside and out, so that our players can also live and breathe a rivalry like this. And it's paid a lot of dividends.
Yeah. And when you're looking at this Oregon State team on film, I mean, they've been showing signs of life as of late offensively, seem to be really well-rounded on that side of the ball with Jonathan Smith as their head coach. What's standing out to you as you're getting ready to take on the Beavers?
We think they've got a really good football team, a lot of good and talented football players. And offensively, they've lit up the scoreboard extremely well and scored a lot of points. And if you can go by a game-by-game basis, and you'll see that in every single game they had a chance to take over the football game, a chance to make a play and end up being victorious, or doing what they did against Colorado, you know, where they ended up coming back from a 28-point deficit and getting it done in overtime. So a tremendous amount of respect for them. We realize where and how many playmakers they have, and they have an abundance of them. So for us, looking forward to a great challenge, and knowing that, you know, that both teams are going to be sky high for this game to get ready to go.
Yeah. And you mentioned that the second half comeback that they had against Colorado and erasing that 28-point deficit, that was a wild one watching them win that game. And that's something, I mean, you guys have shown flashes this year and had, you know, put together a couple of great quarters, but I think you're still, you know, fighting for that complete four-quarter game. We've seen it a couple of times, but a tale of two halves a little bit on Saturday. How much is that in the messaging for you, of realizing that Oregon State has shown, hey, in the past, doesn't matter what your lead is, they can still come back and win that game, and you got to put together four quarters to beat them?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I think the best part about it is that the tape speaks for itself. You don't have to create a crisis. You don't have to head fake your team in any way to create urgency. It's on tape, you know. And you know what? Last time we went over there, we didn't do real well. Mm-hmm. Last time we went over there, you know, our program, and I wasn't here at the time, but it doesn't matter. I'm part now of the history, so it's as if all of us were there. We didn't do a very good job, and we've obviously got to do a much better job on the road, and here's a tremendous opportunity for that.
Yeah, and a couple of your players mentioned that in the postgame on Saturday. They remember the last time they went into Reser Stadium. We're talking with Mario Cristobal, head coach of the Oregon Ducks, as they get set to take on Oregon State in the Civil War on Friday. I did want to ask you another thing that's just kind of on the radar in college football, and I don't know if we're going to have a chance to talk to you before that date, so I wanted to pique your interest. That early signing day coming up, and this is a newer thing. I don't think you had to deal with this in your last stint as a head coach. So just starting with some generalization, just your thoughts on the early signing day and how tough that is to try and juggle getting ready for a game, but also trying to close strong on the recruiting trail.
I think it's a positive thing. My last year caught us by surprise because I was hired and all of a sudden there was a bowl game announced and we couldn't go recruit because we had the bowl game, you know, right before that signing day. So whoever has a game before that day, it's difficult. And we went through it last year. Now, if you don't, If you truly have really good relationships with your commitments and whatnot, it's a great thing because you put it to bed in December and guys can focus on academics. They can focus on just being with their families for the holidays or state championship games. You could focus on the next year's class. I think it's a great thing, and I think it moves us more towards an honorable process, right? I mean, how many times do you see a commitment than a decommitment? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's right now, sometimes it's like a restaurant reservation where a commitment's made, then it's canceled later just to go to another restaurant, right? So, again, we're not going to know for another 5 or 6 years. You got to take this in 5-6 year cohorts and then examine it to see exactly what sticks and what doesn't. Just like the spring football visits, right? That's a brand new thing. You know, a lot of people had official visits in the springtime before the season. Well, on signing day, we're going to find out which way that goes for the first time and then we're going to have to run that process for 5 years to see where what the data tells us.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. It's exciting for college football fans, I know that, to get a chance to look at that recruiting class and officially getting kids signed and seeing what it's going to look like for 2019. Well, I know you're busy, and you guys have a crazy schedule this week with the night game on Saturday. You're playing a day earlier. Are you going to get any chance to have a Thanksgiving break on Thursday?
You know, not really, but that's okay. To me, we'll be able to break bread together as a football family, you know, with those families that are in town, and get to bed early. You know, we have a tremendous opportunity on Saturday. Our guys are they're fired up for this game, just like we on Friday. I keep even forgetting. I don't have a calendar in my head. You know, we just kind of Groundhog Day this thing.
Right.
But, you know, it's everyone in the state's excited about this thing, and it's the first time for myself going over to their place. And, again, there's plenty of time to sit down as a family after that.
Yeah.
I think we have 3 hours on Saturday before we hop on a plane to go recruiting.
There you go. Well, we appreciate the time as always. Mario Cristobal, head coach of the Oregon Ducks. They take on Oregon State Friday. You can hear it right here on The Fan at 1 o'clock. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Good luck on Friday, and thanks again for joining us today.
Okay, thank you for having me. Have a great day.